those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Hello everyone and welcome to yet another gaming show, the Video Gaming Netcast, brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at FancyPantsGangsters.com. And we got a full show this week, except for Jeff, but Jeff doesn't count.
But Jeff, we miss him.
We do miss him greatly. That stranger there is Ian, back from Boston.
Back from out east, yeah.
Yes, welcome back.
Yes, it was a great trip.
What did you get us?
I didn't get you guys anything,
you asshole.
But I did bring back some of the warm weather with me, so you're welcome.
No, I'm going to say screw you for that. It's fall. It is time to have fall weather.
Hey, I'm still wearing shorts.
Hey, 60s is fall weather.
Yeah, 60s and raining.
Plus, that continues to allow the government center to look like a refugee camp, and I don't like that.
You're not happy with Occupy Minneapolis?
I just don't enjoy the fact that looks like a refugee camp now. Mm. They can do whatever... That's a whole other, issue.
You're just all about the aesthetics.
Yeah, I am. I'm about the aesthetics. It displeases my view.
So there was a thing during the Republican National Convention that I would have been, 24, 25 when that was going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought back to, my 18-year-old self when I was very much listening to punk music and all that, thinking, man, 18-year-old Ian would completely understand what these people are trying to do. 25-year-old Ian is just annoyed.
God, I know. I feel like an old man. It's yeah. 28-year-old Mike is like... God damn it, kids! Go get a fucking job. Take a shower.
What I particularly like is I don't want to turn the whole show into
no.
Occupy Yeggs.
Yeah, Occupy Yeggs.
Occupy Yeggs.
Hey, we are far from the 1% of video game podcasts. So just
we
say
are.
Right now.
Yeah, we're gonna take a nap. So Evan's couch.
So there's all these Occupy movements. Mm-hmm. It makes sense in major cities. New York. There's one in Minneapolis, and that sort of makes sense. We do have a Federal Reserve here.
Mm.
I saw for Occupy New Brunswick. is there a beating heart of financial business in New Brunswick? I assume Massachusetts. I don't know where actually New Brunswick. Somewhere out east, but
I don't know.
I thought that was.
We don't know the
you
globe.
You don't need to. Once again, our geography
Occupy
skills
Topeka,
fails.
Occupy Topeka, Kansas.
I mean, while I say I was annoyed by that, at the same time, I think I do have respect for people that are willing to stand up for things that they don't see are as being accurate. And I think the fact that there's no tangible message right now kind of still goes to show how bad things are.
So kind of like our podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
If our podcast is anything, it's showing that incoherent messages can last a while.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
So go them. Anyway, that was Mike Dineen there.
Hello.
Old man Mike, as we call him.
Get off the damn
old
lawn,
man.
Kids, and get a job.
Old man River Mike.
Old man, yeah. Now he's an old black man, apparently.
Actually, I do have to say this quick. We'll go back to that. I do really want to go out there with a sign, both in English and Chinese, that says "End of the government occupation. Say no to the alliance."
No one would get that.
I don't get that.
You don't? Firefly.
Didn't watch it.
Well, you're fired.
Remember we had this discussion but I have not seen it?
Firefly, that's thousands of years in the future. You can't protest something that hasn't happened
yet.
Yes,
but I still think it would be funny. Because maybe one person would get it, and that would make me smile for that
it
one
would help
person.
It would help if there was a less generic name than The Alliance. That could be anything.
If anything, the side effect of that sign would cause people to go into some frenzy for some weird conspiracy that few people know about that I have now alerted them to.
Yeah. All you'd have to do is do # Occupy, # Firefly, and you'd become an internet sensation. Yeah. So.
I like that. Also,
Occupy Whedon.
That's God. Gross.
That's terrifying. Also calling
That's
from
hot.
An undisclosed location. Ashley, hey.
Hello.
How's it going?
I am well.
How's the bunker?
It is safe.
Why can you not leave the Fortress of Solitude? Just come back. It's like Superman Returns.
She's got Aquaman fever. She can't be around people. Lest the rest of us catch it.
Wait, if I catch it, can I talk to a dolphin? Because that'd be
no,
badass.
No. You just think Aquaman's a viable superhero.
Yes,
that's the only.
Well, you
side
posted
effect.
It on your Facebook page.
He doesn't
page.
Talk to animals. You guys are dumb. He wills them with his mind power.
It's a subtle difference.
It is not subtle. It's a huge difference.
So he's.
I don't want to go there.
Wow. You can always tell the shows where we have very little to talk about.
Yeah.
We are now 5 minutes into the show, and we've talked about Firefly, Aquaman, Dirty Hippies.
Yeah.
Good times. Anyway.
Yeah. I hate you all.
As you should.
No, probably.
Sure. Yeah. So, big Sony week, or at least like a couple days.
Uh-huh.
Like, it wasn't even full week. They just, once again, compressed all of their news into one little bit, and most of it was terrible news
for
them.
Well, yeah.
It's maybe terrible, maybe overstating it. Just not good.
Yeah, I'm trying to interpret
it. It has been worse. Let's put it that way.
Yes, in the grand history of bad news at Sony, this is hardly the worst week.
The first news stories we have is that the PlayStation Vita, the PS Vita, according to Amazon.com, will now ship on March 31st, 2012.
Now, I seem to think that is just... I don't think that's a delay. It's more of a we know the date. Because we always figured it was going to be in the first quarter of... 2012.
That's kind of what I'm guessing is everyone's when the Vita first came up, it was like December 31st, 2011. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, sweet, it's gonna come this year. And really, what it is they put a placeholder and they're kind of at the end of the quarter. Mm-hmm. March 31st, 2012 is the end of a quarter, so it could be the same thing where Amazon doesn't have a U.S. release date yet, so they're just kind of putting something out there in their system that for a field that needs to have some value.
So what you're telling me is the Vita is the seventh seal.
Yeah.
Okay.
It will come someday.
Okay. It's also no one's gonna release a product on New Year's Eve. Like that's like no one does
best
that.
Best New Year's Eve ever.
I don't care if it's
drunk driving and handheld video games. Heck
now
yes.
We do not support or endorse drunk driving
or handheld video games for that matter.
Or handheld game and driving.
Yes.
What about drunk handheld gaming?
Yes, I
that's
mean,
fine.
Yes, that's while A-OK driving. In our book. Yeah, no, Mike.
We'll talk about Extra Life later though.
So I guess I don't know if I'd get your panties in a bunch at this point with that. Take it for what it is. Amazon put a date on their website.
I don't know. It depends. If it has anything to do with multiplayer, then the entire internet will get their panties in a bunch.
Are you referring to Mass Effect 3?
No. I want to talk about that for a second. It's not in our outline, but
we
fuck it, whatever.
We do pre-production, folks.
It is news. No, kind of.
Yeah, well...
Sort of.
We all knew that multiplayer was there. I don't know what the new... I don't even remember them saying they're going to take it out or not. So I always assumed that there was going to be multiplayer.
Now, call me ignorant, because, but what's the story?
Basically, it's that BioWare kind of... It got leaked somehow that it's like...
No, they announced it.
Well, no, it was like leaked before they came out and announced it, like week before. It was like, oh, there's going to be multiplayer in Mass Effect 3. And everybody's like, what? What the fuck? Blah, blah, blah. Well, and then BioWare's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a thing, and it's going to utilize the EA Pass. And then the internet erupted into nerd rage.
See, I didn't hear so much complaining about the EA Pass stuff, because I think at this point, you just assume it.
You just assume it's going to be a thing.
Major
and
release
then,
on EA, it's going to have an
online
pass.
And then Jim Sterling was all, "Mer, I was right about it." And it's like, well, I told him, like, that's like predicting that EA was going to use their online pass. That's like predicting that Madden's putting out another game next year.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
No.
One thing, the one complaint I heard that was somewhat valid was the whole thing behind the multiplayer is you're not going to be playing Shepard. You're going to be playing some other sort of special forces person, and in the third game, basically the subtitle of the third game is Galaxy at War, and what this is going to be is you're going to be multiplayer missions that take place during this kind of galaxy-wide war, and the
multi-war
where people are actually getting upset is that the multiplayer game will actually spill over into the single-player game. Apparently there's some sort of metric called Galaxy Readiness that will be used to gauge how together the various factions are.
See, and that to me sounds awesome.
It does. It does.
Like, that sounds pretty bitching. Like,
well, the big complaint is that there are people that are worried, and again, this is only worry. They're not basing this on anything. They're worried that the only way you're going to get the best ending, or the only way that you're going to be able to progress beyond a certain level is by playing the multiplayer, thereby they're forcing people to play the multiplayer. And BioWare made a statement that basically said it is entirely optional. You do not need to play multiplayer in any way. This just gives you another way to build up those galaxy readiness points.
Mm-hmm.
Which
so
I have no
like,
problem
so
with.
Kind of like the Facebook games for Assassin's Creed and
actually,
Dragon Age.
A lot of people brought those up. Mm-hmm. A lot of people brought those exact examples up where it's like it doesn't affect the plot of the game. They're not required, but they're just another way of approaching the game.
No, I'm all good on BioWare for throwing this in.
Damn a developer for giving me more content to play.
And a really good idea. Holy shit. God, fuck you, BioWare. I'm never buying your games again for doing something awesome.
One thing I'm excited for is in the multiplayer, you're not forced to play human. You can play all of the other various races, or not all of them. I'd love to do an Elcor, but, that probably wouldn't be terribly fun anyone.
Remind me again, are those the ones that just like tell the emotion they're feeling?
Yeah,
they're big
elephant guys. Yeah.
I'm sad.
Yeah. Yes.
Sadness.
Sad and,
yeah. But I think that's a totally cool idea, and as long as it isn't mandatory.
And the other thing that people were bitching about too, by the way, was it's like, oh, it's going to take away development power from the single player, blah, blah, blah. If you have a multiplayer, that it's like, oh, the single player is so going to be weak now because you're taking away development time. I highly doubt that's going to be the case in this game.
It's going to be one of those things where people will read into it what they want.
Well, people bitch no matter what.
Well, there's that. But if there's any sort of problem with the single player, it's going to get blamed on multiplayer, regardless of if it was or not. You know, so it's always gonna be hard to say until we hear from a developer that says no, the single player was done, so whatever. So I'm
waiting for the conspiracy theory to be like, oh, multiplayer is the reason this game got pushed from November to March.
And if it was, okay.
Well, yeah. It's more, I would think, if anything, it's like, there's a shitload of stuff coming out in November. We can make a fuck ton more if we are the only good game that comes out in
March.
And
they pulled the same thing with Mass Effect 2. It was supposed to come out in November. A shit ton of stuff was coming
and
out.
It's like, we don't want to try to compete with Modern Warfare. Let's...
And honestly, why throw out your big hour gameplay, the big hour game in November? Like
you're talking like big length games.
Yeah, like your length games. Like, I mean, Mass Effect's what, a 40-plus hour game, if not more?
Yeah. When I play it, too, because that's one of those few games where I become Evan, and I'm like, I want
to
do
no
everything.
No one wants to become Evan.
but you know, like your Assassin's Creed and the Batman games, like they're great games, but you're looking at, 12 hours, maybe 20 at the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can crank through these games come holiday season left and right. You want that game in January to last for quite a while.
I think there's this weird expectation from people that they're taking the release window of video games and they're kind of attaching all of the baggage that there is with the release schedule for movies.
Yeah.
Because like with movies, January, that's dead season. Like that's where you put the shit just to get rid of it. Because theater attendance is way down.
I think the counter argue that quick, where you're going with, I think people are all worried that, it won't win Game of the Year because people worried that was why Mass Effect 2 suffered, is that Red Dead Redemption was more fresh in our minds coming out.
But honestly,
when was that? That was during the summer, wasn't it?
Yeah. I would say that was fall.
I can't remember.
I'd have to look it up.
Regardless, that was more fresh in people's minds than a game that came out in March.
But again, do you think they really care about games of the year? I mean, honestly, like game companies, do you really think that they care about the Spike Awards?
It's a badge of honor. Yeah,
it's a marketing thing.
Yeah, it's a marketing thing.
Doesn't really like make that many more sales for them.
It's a our dick's bigger than yours kind of thing. If anything.
Well, I think it's also something if you have, your last five games are all games of the year, you can say, makers of game of the year, XYZ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's some value into it. I don't necessarily care as a gamer too much. I think the only thing that really matters is, for example, when IGN has their game of the year rundown at the end of the year, you can see all the stuff that you might have missed throughout the year. Like, oh man, I forgot to play that game. I want to go back and play that. So it's kind of a reminder of the hits throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really reading into it and getting all of the honorable mentions and things that kind of didn't win the category but should be mentioned alongside of the winner. So I mean,
they need to do the I cannot remember the name of it, the one where they do like the terrible movies,
the Razzies.
We need to have it with video games.
There'd be way too many
this year, especially.
Well, I think also
I've already given it to LA Noire.
I mean, it depends on what you depends. If we're talking about awards like Game of the Year things, it really depends on the awards, like the Spike Awards, is probably the big one that a lot of people talk about. And that was where the whole thing about Mass Effect not coming out close to the awards, whatever. Well, that was all based on votes. Now, you look at magazine games of the year, website games of the year, they're going to be looking at the entire year. And I don't think they're going to be as influenced by when a game came out as a popular vote would be.
I think there's some truth in that, but you also hear reviewers or like other podcasts say like Mass Effect 2 came out this year. You know, like that was a Christmas game to them. So I think there is some value within that release window, but to me at the end of the day, I don't really care. I'll play good games whenever.
Mm-hmm. You care. You shush.
I do.
Don't lie.
Yes, don't lie. I'm a Game of the Year whore. Mm-hmm.
I only play the games of the year.
I don't.
We know.
Yeah.
No, that's actually not true. But
you play every Call of Duty game. Admit it.
Yeah, I will play them for about 2 hours, and I'm like, I'm really sick of being called derogatory terms. I'm done.
You do know you can mute people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to play as a team.
Oh, there's no team in Call of Duty?
Now I know you're lying that you've played Call of Duty.
No,
you've
because
never,
I'm used to playing games that requires a team, you know, like Left 4 Dead and Gears of War, where it's like, you have to play hard as a team. You can be a douche nozzle, but then you get your team killed, especially in 3.
Yeah. I'd never talk online. The few times I am on, I just don't. I don't bother. I don't even know where my headset is.
Yeah. I don't feel honestly. Like I have anything of value to
I've
add
to
it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I would just be adding chatter to this.
Yeah, bad guy shot me through the window. I'm dead now.
You're not the guy like singing or...
I love the guys that like play the radio. Like, really? Do we really
I like the
need
people who
music?
Yell at their kids. That's my favorite.
That's always fun.
Mm-hmm. That's your favorite. People who yell favorite. At their kids. In like the background?
Yes.
Best
you
of May.
You don't clean your room. Oh, God.
So we got more Sony
news.
We do
have more news. So, hey, kids, tell me if you've heard this joke before. Sony was hacked.
Oh,
no.
No, no. So, yeah, it sounds like there's 93,000 accounts that were exposed. So what happened here that there was a Sony? Sony suffered yet another breach of data somewhere between the 7th and the 10th of October when hackers matched valid sign-in IDs and passwords for accounts on, you know, PSN. It says that the Tokyo, Japan-based company says that credit card details remain uncompromised and ads. I don't know why I read that part. It has temporarily locked all affected accounts, and Sony is notifying the users who may have been victims of a mass phishing attack. And apparently on this one here, that Sony's quick response to this latest hack differs greatly from its tardy approach after its first major attack in April. Enjoyed that. But yeah, so it sounds like somebody was just trying to fish for people's stuff. Credit cards are compromised, but Sony's got this on lockdown.
No, I thought they said credit cards remain uncompromised.
Well, I should say they attempted to. Yeah, credit card details remain uncompromised.
Yes.
So
I think that's a very important detail.
Yeah, I apologize.
I also feel like 93,000 is what, like 1% of their install base?
Compared to something like the 20, you know, when you're talking millions of people who were hit in the...
I mean, how many PS3s have been sold? And since it's a free account, I think almost every PS account, PlayStation is going to have an account.
You have to have an account in order to run on a PlayStation 3. So
I mean...
So you figure every PlayStation out there has an account, or you could have like me, where there's like 2-3 accounts on ours. You
know? So I feel like that's like a 0.5%. Not to downplay, I mean, it's still them getting hacked, but I think what we're seeing with this is Sony doing the correct thing, not trying to hide it, bringing the news to those users, locking the accounts down super quick so that, you know, nothing bad can get out.
What I like is people are already like, what's Sony going to give us for this?
What?
Nothing. Protection.
Yeah. People were like, seriously, like...
Not shit.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, really?
We got stuff from the last one because the network went down for a month or whatever it was.
Even then, I argued that, you know, it's not like we necessarily, like, oh, we deserve free shit for...
But we do.
No good reason. But we do.
I do.
And now people... I just...
I have not turned on my PS3 in months. Simply because I was so worried, not because I had nothing to play on.
Now, did you redeem your free shit?
Oh, yeah. I redeemed the free shit. I turned it on to redeem. I think that was the last time I turned it on, actually, was when we got the free shit.
No, I actually have a crap load of PS3 stuff I got picking up here soon.
I've been getting pretty excited about the PS3. I was pretty cool on the system for a while, but
yeah.
A lot of things are going right for them.
I got Batman coming for that for sure next week. So
yeah, that'll be after the honeymoon for me. So.
Glad I'm not the one getting married right now.
Yeah, no doubt.
So it got hacked and things got figured out relatively quickly. So yay on Sony, I guess, for, you know, blocking this one this time. But yeah.
I think we just see that they, you know, they have security policies in place and they're following them, mm-hmm. and hopefully
I'm sure that's why they made this a little more public.
Yeah.
Too, because it was less of we need to inform people, because it sounds like they already informed people.
Yeah.
It's right. more like, hey, look, we're so much better now.
Like, imagine if Blizzard released how often World of Warcraft accounts were hacked. I mean, I feel like one of my friends every month is like, a different friend's like, ah, my account got hacked.
It'd be funny if Sony hacked themselves just to be like, look,
okay, nut job. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Christ's sake, Blizzard had to come out with key fobs for people's accounts.
Yeah, I used them for a while. Yeah. And it's annoying when you like lose your phone, then you can't log into World of Warcraft till they like deactivate it, yeah. which takes like 3, 4, 5 days.
Yeah, Jesus.
You need to submit like fingerprints or something like that.
But we urine samples.
Yeah,
we have positive Sony news.
We do. Sony has some other positive news well. So at the Game Developers Conference online this year for 2011, Sony engineer Gabe On. A-H-N.
Gabe on.
Oh, God.
Nice. Yeah, he was recapping.
Recrapping. Game On was recrapping.
It sounds like bad English right now.
It does.
Game On was recrapping.
Wow.
Progress.
I'm so sorry.
So, yeah, so he's recapping the progress of Sony's motion controls. You're showing a hypothetically move-enabled Resistance 4 built on some augmented reality technology, and also came out and was saying that, according to some statistics they have, in April, Sony touted a total of over 8 million units shipped for the PS Move. They claim it has been 8.3 million units shipped worldwide.
So that's shipped, not sold to the direct
so
consumer.
That is, but that's still, you know, they're
it's still that's still a good indicator.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, so Best Buy ain't buying that shit just to keep.
Yeah, well, I mean, what did they do with the HP touchpad when they weren't selling? They sent them back, you know?
Yeah.
So
I wonder if a lot of that had to do with Resistance 3.
I'm sure that
helped. With a big number of sales, and then I know I'm still going to pick that up. But yeah.
Do we know what the numbers on the Kinect are right now?
I know it's past 8 mil. Okay. I think they did that just during holiday season.
That first weekend?
Yeah. Probably.
The Kinect was the biggest selling peripheral ever.
Well, and that's kind of the
video game.
That's kind of the crazy thing. And I know this is something we've talked about before. It's like, you know, any other product launch, they sell 8 million of them things. That's success. Yeah. Like, that is a successful launch. But it's always going to be...
10 million units sold.
For Kinects?
Yep.
As of when?
March 9th, 2011. So
okay,
that's quite old.
So it's 9 months old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's say probably 12 million.
And yeah, because they've started to actually put out some games now. I mean, you've got, you know, you've had your Child of Eden out now. Gunstringer's doing really well.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Like, we haven't had any good Kinect games until, like, the last few months. And yet it's sold, like, 12 million.
You know, it's like, well, everybody is excited for the technology. And I think, you know, when they've been, like, Microsoft really keeps pushing, this is going to be the thing. And I think, I almost feel more like the Kinect is something that's going to be like, we put this out, but really we're going to take off with this in the next generation of console. Generation of console will be when you really see the games.
Feel like the Kinect is in beta right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, but if you kind of look at it, like, the Kinect is like Star Trek technology, right? Like, it's very much futuristic, like just the motion capture of it. Where PlayStation Move is just borrowing from the Wii and doing it a different way.
Yeah.
It's an improved Wii, because I mean it's a higher resolution of control.
Yep.
And you know it's a lot more functional than the Wii, but it's not the Kinect.
And also being that you're Sony versus Nintendo, you can also do some other interesting things with it that Wii isn't going to really do because of their family orientate, you know, kind of more kiddie games. You can have a Resistance 3. You can have stuff like Ruse. I mean, we talked about before, and I still really think it'd be a neat idea that, you know, with the Steam capabilities on the PS3, that if you brought Civilization 5 and allow me to basically, you know, kind of go wizard with it a little bit, be able to move my units with
anything that relies on mouse control, I think could benefit with the Move.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see, but I don't want that to be the AAA title for them. Mm-hmm. Civilization on the console, like a traditional civilization on the console, that's never going to be a big seller.
No,
never.
Revolutions was god awful, terrible.
Well,
it should have been an arcade title,
well,
really.
And that's what I'm saying. If they're going to do like traditional point and click style games, put that in PSN, and then we'll be. Then I think that'll be fine. But at least it'll show off the technology a little bit.
You know, I do remember. I haven't used the PlayStation Move much, but I do know with Kinect, one of my favorite things is the table tennis game in Kinect Sports. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, I just love that stupid that game. But I remember playing the table tennis on PlayStation Move, and that was a really accurate. It was a lot of fun playing on that, where I feel with the Kinect, I'm being more goofy, right?
Yeah, you're just kind of like slapping something. You know?
Like, it's still a lot of fun.
You're just slapping something. That doesn't sound good.
The Ike and Tina Kinect game.
Oh.
What, too soon?
Too soon.
it's just bad.
Well, that I will give you. Speaking of the Kinect, by the way, I actually there's no abuse possible with this one. Microsoft has actually submitted a patent for what they are considering age control based on the Kinect.
So, in other words, when Grandpa plays a Kinect, no, you sit down. You are not allowed to play Rise of the Nightmare, Grandpa.
No, I don't think that would work so much. But basically what they're doing is they are extrapolating the age of players based on their body measurements. So if little Susie, little 3 foot tall Susie walks up, you're going to see all the M-rated games blocked out. The actual example they have...
Oh, I already see the problems with this right now.
Midgets. the example that is used in the patent filing is actually based on TV listings. So in the patent picture, a child walks in front of the Kinect, or they're just saying a 3D camera. They're not actually calling out the Kinect in this case. But a child walks in front, and then all of a sudden the Spice channel is blocked. Which
does it specifically say Spike?
It specifically says Spike, or it says Spike.
Spike should be blocked.
It should be blocked.
Yeah.
No, it specifically says Spice, which is hilarious because apparently in whatever magical land that this patent filing is made in, Spice is basic cable. Because it's 39.
I was gonna
channel
say, I've never
channel
even
39.
Heard of that. I've never heard of that.
It's
channel.
It's a porn channel.
Yeah, it's pornography.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pay per view.
It's where naked ladies, you know, exist for
money.
Yeah.
Exist for money.
Yeah.
If you don't give them money, they just pop out of reality. They just don't exist.
They put clothes back on.
Yeah, that's it.
So
it's like if a tree falls in a woods.
A long neck cardigan sweater.
So many people have brought up things like. Midgets, for example.
Yeah.
And minute bull.
Or just, you know, small people. You know, just short people. I mean, if the cutoff is 5 foot, then, you
this
know.
This is like a carnival.
That's
you must be this high to ride this ride.
You must be this tall to play Gears of War.
Now the midget thing, I think, is somewhat covered in this case because it's not strictly height. It's a series of different body measurements and they can work in proportions, you know, because a child is differently proportioned than an adult. A midget is differently proportioned than an adult and a child. So,
this is TSA scanners. And you get to see your penis on the screen.
No one wants that.
They don't check if your balls have dropped.
All right.
No. But I mean, I can imagine like adults.
Hormone sensor.
Well, I think of things like this where like my fiance, she's 5'1". Or 5'2".
She's your wife now.
Not yet.
Oh, not until this weekend.
It's Saturday.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
You fail.
Yeah.
You fail.
You
jumped ahead a week.
I'm time traveling. I'm back to the future.
That's right, baby. So meanwhile, my 11-year-old sister is 5'2". So if we're going strictly on height and similar body measurements, my 11-year-old could watch the Spice Channel is really what I'm saying here. If we had basic cable.
Yeah, she's tall.
Yeah, yes. All my family are mooses, so it's...
Meese?
Yeah, I don't know Mises? What the proper pluralization is
come,
on this.
Come on, English major.
We're mutants. That's really what it is. We're all
what's your superpower?
Low self-esteem.
Oh.
It just got sad really quickly.
Yeah.
But...
It's an interesting concept, but
yeah.
I think if you like team it up with other variables, like if you had basically like a way to do using heuristics, if you could basically make a guess at gender and height, and also basically like, hey, repeat this sentence, and based on like how what the pitch of the voice is, you might be able to make other assumptions on that too, right? Mm-hmm. Based on how well the
I don't know, I think that's a slippery slope.
But I mean, it's one of those things where like I can walk in front of my Kinect and it says, I know you, I know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it will learn that today I'm wearing a brown T-shirt when I'm using my Kinect and my buddy is wearing a green T-shirt or whatever, and it will actually like watch t-shirt color for detecting bodies. There is a lot of crazy technology in there, and if you do like a simple kind of like learning model, heuristics model, where you're looking at has a high-pitched voice, is under 5 feet, but start looking at all these different body characteristics, like you said, proportion sizes, they probably could make a certain determination, and it could be a lot like Watson. If you guys watched when the Watson computer was on Jeopardy, it printed out the percent chance, like I'm 95% certain, and they probably have a thing where if it's not certain, it doesn't take a guess.
Yeah, what I do like is apparently there's a little line in the patent application that says that this determination can be done dynamically, so that let's say I'm playing a game, a mature rated game, and a child walks past the room. Besides really confusing me, why there'd be a child in my house.
It's a Shining.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
The Shining.
But it would actually detect that a child has entered the room and dial down... It would dial down the content. So, like, if I was, like, a little kid, I would totally use this to troll my parents. Like, if dad's playing Mortal Kombat, I run into the room, and all of a sudden, we have to play Kinect Adventures. Like, I would totally do that.
Kinectimals! Yeah. Yay!
Not with bears.
Yeah.
We love bears.
No, that is the new Kinectimals.
I believed you.
Yeah.
I believed you. It's okay.
But not anymore. Believing has passed.
You're not the kind of guy that would just make up bears. So,
Jesus
I could.
Christ.
I mean, it could be like, you know, the GLBT friendly version.
No,
of
no.
The
if Mike was
that's
made up,
that's,
be like,
that's Kinectimals After Dark.
No, it's Kinectimals now with bears.
After
yeah.
Dark.
No, Mike would say unicorns if he was making it up.
That's true. Actually, unicorns make a lot of sense if you think about it. You know, it's just. Kids love unicorns.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
I love unicorns. I had a unicorn bedroom when I was...
You probably had like the full Lisa Frank like portfolio or something.
I did, but my
you
unicorn...
a trapper keeper?
I think I still have my unicorn Lisa Frank towel. and I also had the... Yeah, I had a trapper keeper. I had pencils. I had pretty much all the above of awesome Lisa Frank stuff.
This might not be a big news flash for our listeners, but Ashley's a girl. So
if you don't know what Lisa Frank is, Google that and prepare to be frightened.
Prepare to be girlified.
Prepare to squee with joy.
Squee with joy.
Yeah. Make a squee. So cute. This just happened. Shut up.
Oh, Jesus.
All right,
fucking
so I'm totally lost. All right,
so back to manly things.
Yeah,
I'm going to build a fire and grill some barbecue.
Let's go get some Old Spice.
Should we talk about how you almost come every time we talk about Madden?
He was quick to mention the Bears in the Kinect. And this is National Coming Out Week. So, Mike, is there... He's completely collapsed in on himself in embarrassment now.
Ashley, props. Props.
Well done.
Mike is losing his
you
shit.
You may have
right
actually
now.
Given him a seizure in the brain.
Maybe he's just coming to climax.
Die.
No, don't. Not in my house. Keep
don't
your climaxes to yourself.
Oh.
God's sakes.
All right, manly things.
What's wrong with you? Actually, we're going to talk about Apple. I don't know if that's manly
that's
or not.
That's not manly at all.
No, it's...
It's pretty masculine.
No.
It's metrosexual,
pretty,
I would say.
Pretty not masculine.
Oh, you are such a hater. You shut your face.
You know, so, it came out that he owned over 100 little stupid turtlenecks.
Probably.
Yeah. Well.
All right.
Anyways,
so
moving on to our next story.
We know that Apple is pretty much a really good innovator for, you know, they came with the iPad, the iPhone. And
iPods.
We've all been really surprised about them not putting out a console.
They tried, the Pippin.
They did.
And
yeah.
It failed.
It was terrible.
1994.
Yeah. I didn't even know that. Let's move on.
Okay, so moving on, we got another story here, Ashley.
No.
Oh.
You shut it. So I think in the midst of the Steve Jobs passing and Apple, just a lot of Apple in the news lately, Valve bossman Gabe Newell.
Great guy.
Okay.
You say that like you've picnicked with him.
No, I haven't, but I just every time he opens his mouth, greatness comes out.
And ham. Their games are pretty fucking awesome,
ham
too.
Ham goes in.
Ham goes in, greatness comes out. Yeah. I've just designed our new shirt. Anyway, Ashley, continue. Sorry.
So basically he's saying that Apple has its eyes set on our living rooms for gaming or some type of console. He is quoted saying, I suspected Apple will launch a living room product that redefines people's expectations really strongly, and the notion of a separate console platform will disappear. He also goes on to say, on the platform side, it's sort of ominous that the world seems to be moving away from open platforms. They build a shiny, sparkly thing that attracts users, and then they control people's access to those things. So it sounds like he's not super worried about it, because...
It sounds like he has a little hesitance in terms of thinking about it, because it's not the open like PC platform where Steam or Valve's made all its money.
I think it's the I can see this coming and I'm not exactly happy about it.
Yeah, or and also they also like Apple is really good at making things that are sparkly that attracts people, but some things don't necessarily stick, like you mentioned the Pippa or whatever and
Pippin.
Shut up. That's Lord of the Rings.
No. It was actually called like...
Yeah, it was called the Pippin.
Yeah.
Pipmin or something like
that. It was Pippin.
Yeah.
Pippin. Did it come with Mary controllers?
It did not.
Maybe that's why it failed.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yes.
And so I don't know. I thought that was interesting because I think we all really enjoy Valve as...
We do. I think the interesting takeaway is that with iOS 5, there's a big prediction. I haven't been following it too closely that... With display mirroring and that, you'll be able to use your iPad or iPhone as a controller while playing a game through your Apple TV on your screen or through like a HDMI port. And on top
of
that,
Angry Birds.
Yeah, if you look at the Roku 2 XS or whatever their biggest, like the $100 Roku 2 device, it comes with a motion control that allows you to play Angry Birds 2 or Angry Birds, I mean. And so that's like your $100 set-top box that's going to be able to do applications like Angry Birds. Mm-hmm. Which, while you may kind of joke or scoff at the quality of Angry Birds, it's hard to argue how many people play it.
Well, and eventually all this is going to blend into one big cluster of stuff.
Yeah.
Your TV, your peanut butter is eventually going to be mixed with your jelly.
It's the one console future that a lot of people have been...
The one ring to rule them all.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we've been talking about how just... It's not like it's the first time this has been brought up, but it's the first time that it's been brought up that Apple would come out with something like this.
No, I mean, everybody every 6 months there's an article about Apple should release a console or Apple will release a console have me who decided to take it a step further and say Google should release a console.
I think what we really have here, kind of my prediction is that with tablets and smartphones, more people are getting into casual gaming more so than ever. Mm-hmm. And that casual gaming marketplace is becoming a legitimate money-making source. So you're seeing like EA and all these other developers and publishers invest into the casual gameplay space. Something like a PlayStation or an Xbox may always need to exist for those hardcore gamers that just want to play Call of Duty and your Madden games.
Well, because, I mean, I completely agree. It's funny that, you know, PC gaming was always pretty big, and it feels like it's getting another surge. But I think that many people who were just console gamers probably thought that PC gaming was going to go by the wayside. And
for a long time, it looked like PC gaming was practically dead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think with, you know, as we discussed some weeks ago, Valve, through Steamworks, is almost single-handedly reviving that market through really cheap games that are accessible.
What will be interesting is if Apple if Apple puts out a console, my first thought is for similarity be like in hotels when you can like rent 64 games through that. I mean, it'd be the same basic idea, and it's almost the same idea as like OnLive,
right?
You know, it's in terms of a single box that plays a whole bunch of different things. But what'll be interesting with accepting OnLive and Gaikai and I consider them less consoles more like transmission services,
yeah,
like
services, yeah.
If Apple comes out with a console, it'll be the first time in a long time, if not ever, that you will have a console manufacturer that does not do games.
A new challenger has entered the ring.
Because every console manufacturer also does first-party games.
Yeah.
Right.
And has since at least the Nintendo era.
And Apple doesn't really do...
Apple does not do any game development.
They make
iTunes, don't really do much for software. And, you know, they're a big...
They'll do their iLife and
right.
iTunes. And
But
and,
their big thing has always been hardware.
Yeah.
They're a little bit of both. I mean, they do like Final Cut Pro and a lot of the audio tools like Logic 7. A lot of what Hollywood makes is made on Apple software and Apple hardware. That's kind of their key, though, is that... When you're a filmmaker, you're going to use Final Cut Pro, and you're going to be using it on Mac hardware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Apple doesn't really do its own games.
No.
You know, they'll go through companies like Blizzard, and Monolith originally, back before it became Bungie.
Yep.
And they'll go through these third parties to do these main games, but they don't do their own development. Which I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying that it's interesting that in the history of home consoles, there really hasn't been.
Well, Sony, I feel like, is in a similar boat where they do have first party games. They definitely do have game studios, but I think that came from the birth of them creating the PlayStation. I mean, there were some of the Disney games that they were involved in before, but they really don't have a Mario or Master Chief.
Well, they tried to. It was Crash Bandicoot. It was supposed to be theirs.
Yeah, but they didn't. It didn't really pan out
for them.
It was a horrible character, in my opinion.
No, but that was supposed to be their.
That was going to be their
mascot.
Sonic.
Yeah, that was their Sonic, their Mario, their.
But I think Sony really shows that you don't necessarily need that mascot.
Well, and I mean, to an extent, Microsoft's never had a mascot, really, either.
Master Chief.
Yeah, I would go so far as to say that too. Or it's
the original Xbox was sold on Halo's bones, back, whatever you want.
Or bones, yeah. That works too. Yeah. The back is made of bones, yeah. So you know,
both
and you know, backbone, yeah,
is connected to your neck bone.
Exactly,
ham bone.
Back to the ham.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Always back to the ham.
Always back to ham.
Yet another gaming show, not kosher.
Brought to you by
ham.
Pork.
So yeah, I guess, I mean, I could see Apple doing something like this.
Mm-hmm. I could see them not specifically making a game console. Like with the iPhone and iPad, they didn't specifically go to make handheld gaming devices. Mm-hmm. They basically made the device.
Can also play games.
Yeah, and I could see them with the Apple TV doing the same thing. The Apple TV runs on iOS. It just doesn't have support for installing apps or an app market yet. I can see them.
Actually,
basically,
aren't there Apple TV apps, like specific ones? I mean, it's like
it comes with the OS.
It's a very, you know, limited selection. But like, I think of things like Netflix, and things like that.
It definitely has support for apps, but there's no store to go add more to it.
Oh, okay.
But I could see them coming out with like, okay, now there's an app store, and you have that little controller. And if you redesign the controller, the remote control a little bit, pretty soon you have a gaming controller. Or if you have a touchscreen device, your iOS device, you can now use that for basically your Wii U input.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm envisioning the opening sequence to Space Odyssey 2001.
Where we all touch the monolith?
Well, just, you know, the monkeys baking on tools and, like, you know, figuring it out.
Well, it makes sense to go the iPhone controller route or iPad controller route. Because I got to imagine the Venn diagram of iPod owners and Apple owners, it's pretty much a circle. Mm-hmm. Like I can't imagine there are many Apple TV owners don't own another iDevice.
I mean, the only reason I really have the Apple TV is because I buy a lot of TV shows on iTunes, because I exist in the iOS ecosystem.
You are a dirty whore.
I've not sided with Amazon. I've sided with Apple on this this
in
side
this holy
of
war.
Yeah, my allegiances can be bought, though. Just saying.
Right. Speaking of which, this is a little side note if we're talking about TVs. Apparently, the pilot episode of Breaking Bad that is on Netflix is highly, highly edited.
Like, in what way?
A lot of stuff's removed. It's kind of shortened down.
Huh.
This is what I've heard from sources.
Well, we will have to talk to the Bloggy Later Radio guys,
Bloggy
because
Later
that is the TV show.
Yeah, so just something, you know, to...
That is interesting, though. I was thinking about starting to watch that, but...
Yeah. So, apparently, the solution to that is go get it on Amazon.
Or buy the DVDs.
Yes.
They are available on DVD.
That as well.
Anyway.
You know what's also available?
Anywho.
Scribblenauts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
On many things. Now, I know Ash has played it because she's talked about it. Has anybody else here played it?
I've played the original.
Yes.
So, I'm the only one that has not played.
Yeah.
Right.
Well...
It's kind of like Mass Effect for Ashley.
I haven't played much Mass Effect. I really don't side with you guys on a lot of things I'm learning. I'm like the odd man out here, but at least I game.
I know, lately, me and Evan have been agreeing on stuff, and it's starting to scare me.
It should. It
if
really
you guys
should.
Like fist bump pretty soon, I'm gone. Because that's like an unholy form, you know.
I don't think that'll happen. But anyway, no. Ash, Scribblenauts?
Yep. So Scribblenauts is now going to be available for the for iOS. And it's just going to be called the Scribblenauts Remix. It'll be $4.99.
I'm buying it.
So it has...
You don't even know anything.
Yep.
The Scribblenauts on iPhone. Done.
Already bought.
Take my money.
It features 40 of the best levels from both Scribblenauts and Super Scribblenauts, plus 10 iOS exclusive challenges.
Ian is actually just throwing cash at his phone right now. I don't think you know how that works, Ian.
I've never actually bought anything from my iPad.
He's trying to insert the dollar bills into that little slot, and it's
Its coin slot.
No. I'm really waiting for like the next iPad to just have a credit card scanner on the side.
Like, get one of those square things.
Yeah.
It just eats things like the Harry Potter monster book.
It eats my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Does it make like the Mario coin noise when you slide it through?
Yeah.
The ones at the gas station.
The
sonic ring noise.
Yeah, the Bobby and Steve's.
I've been to several
gas
stations.
It really throws me off.
Yes.
Because I'm like.
Yeah, there's some gas station POS systems that.
Point of sale.
Thank you. That use sonic sound effects. Because there's more than just the ring noise I've heard on some of these. So
Knuckles or something like
that?
Your credit card gets declined, it's like the sonic dying noise.
Yes, it is. you just hear the rings explode outwards. No. I'm really surprised that Scribblenauts didn't even start on mobile. Because to me, that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Like mobile phones, I mean, not like. Because it obviously started as a DS game. So it started as a mobile game. But I'm saying on iOS or Android or something like that.
Well, the big reason why I say I'm buying it right away is I had the Scribblenauts game and I really enjoyed it. But the flaws within the first Scribblenauts game, like the controlling of the character and that, kind of bugged me. But they fixed a lot of that in Super Scribblenauts. But I've been kind of cheap and not wanting to throw down $20-$30 for it. So $5 to get that experience, I'm in.
Right.
Now we just need it on Android.
Yeah, and then you'll be happy.
Then I'll be happy.
Well,
you know what is coming out on Android that I really want to play?
What?
Is Minecraft.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know.
I just saw your eyes glaze over and you just got addicted thinking about it.
I'm just like, oh my God.
Did he just cream his pants?
I could probably kill my battery in about an hour. I'd just be sitting there like not doing work.
I can do that with my phone now.
Building shit.
But that's just because my phone sucks.
Well, you just leave it connected to the internet for too long.
Fucking phone.
Like, look at me. I'm just building shit for no reason.
What would be really scary for me is if they ever integrate Minecraft into like Facebook.
Mm. Well,
you have to bug your friends to get torches or whatever.
Well, I don't care about that. It's more, can I do it at work?
Yeah,
that's really what.
Can
it
you
comes
get to Facebook
to.
At work?
I can.
Also, wow, allegedly, nice. SimCity is also out on the iOS.
Yeah, it is. It's all right.
I'm really. If they could just port the first SimCity to the Android and then give me Minecraft, I would get no work done at work.
That's why they're not doing it.
I know. Specifically, so I actually do work.
It's a conspiracy.
I also want Scribble, but yes, I really want Scribblenauts on my phone because that would be the trifecta of me never.
Plants vs. Zombies, Angry Birds, and Scribblenauts.
No. Mine would be Minecraft, SimCity, and Scribblenauts. I did survive my plane ride to Arizona by playing a lot of Scribblenauts. I bought like 4 games for the DS that I was borrowing from somebody, and that's the only one I played. I tried Super Beat Agent, and I like hated that game in 2 minutes.
I love that game.
Elite Beat Agent?
Elite Beat Agents, yeah. I hated that game after 2 minutes, and I'm like, nope, back to Scribblenauts.
I enjoyed the hell out of that game.
I didn't
understand
it. I liked
that game
a
lot.
I also picked up whatever the Japanese original version of that was. I forget what it's called now.
Elite Beat Agents?
No, it's not called Elite Beat Agents. It's because it's not like a government police force in the Japanese version. He's like a band leader.
It's Elite Beat Agent 2.
Racist.
That's terrible.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
Why do you apologize?
I feel like someone just has to make the blanket like public relations.
We're sorry.
We're awful.
That was not that bad.
Who were responsible have now been sacked.
All right, so if you were around the Twin Cities area last week, you may know that many of us here at Yet Another Gaming Show was at.
We speak good English.
That's right. We were down at Games & Go Rosedale as part of Extra Life, and this story made me think of them, actually. Hyperkin, which is a company that does peripherals, they do... they're kind of like Mad Cats and a lot of those other kind of things. They've announced that they're actually doing a whole new brand called RepairBox. And what RepairBox will be, it'll actually be replacement parts for classic video game consoles.
So like the slot connector for an NES that I replaced in about 20 of them in
the
college?
The pins?
Basically the connector that connects the cartridge to your motherboard, yeah.
Yeah.
I did a lot of those jobs in college for whiskey.
We now know why you're an alcoholic.
So wait. Hey.
He just runs around. Can I fix your Nintendo?
For whiskey.
Some people want to clean your windshield. You ask if you can replace the pins in a Nintendo.
Yeah. Fair trade. Also modded Xboxes and other things for whiskey.
So the trick to get you to do anything is...
Offer whiskey.
Yeah.
Offer whiskey.
All right. Do you have a particular brand that you like or...
Man, whatever.
I have a bottle of Wolfhound. If you can give me a terabyte hard drive of my PS3.
Dude, I could do that in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I know.
It's literally the easiest thing in the world to do.
But I have 3 bottles of Irish whiskey, and I need to get rid of some of them.
I'd be more impressed with if you can get me a terabyte hard drive on my Xbox.
Yeah,
that would be nice.
Without using a hammer.
They have a 320 gig hard drive
coming
up.
Yeah, fuck them. Fuck them in the ear. Okay.
How much
but
is
only
the 320
for the
gig?
Only for the slim though.
Yeah, I don't give Microsoft any credit when it comes to fucking hard drive shit.
So is it like $500 for the 320 gig?
Probably.
Their storage prices are absurd.
You're left nut for a hard drive.
Retarded. Don't even get me started on that. Anyway,
so replacement box.
Yeah. Repair Box is the brand. The first product they're actually releasing is the SNES Power Jack. Apparently, I didn't know this, probably because I never owned a Super Nintendo.
Wah,
but
wah.
The plastic around the AC jack is apparently very fragile, and it has to be replaced often. So now the replacement parts are getting harder and harder to find because the console's getting older and older and older. They're releasing this so that it's easy to put in and replace chunks of your classic consoles. I think that's really cool, and
we can rebuild it. We have the technology.
It comes with a 6-month warranty, which I like, and it's a pre-assembled plastic housing, so it should be pretty simple to install. And they're pricing it at $13, which I think is pretty reasonable for this kind of thing. I just wonder what the guys like Games and Go that do console repairs. I wonder if they think this is going to be a good thing, because I got to imagine that they enjoy the whatever business they get for repairing consoles, but I also got to imagine they're fighting everyone else for those few remaining replacement
things.
It might make their job easier.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because if it's easier for everyone to do it, then that then that lowers their business a bit.
Some people don't want to open hardware, and if you're willing to open hardware, you're probably going to do it yourself anyways.
Well, and the thing at Games and Go, too, is like theirs is primarily focused on the newer consoles. I mean, there's not going to be... This repair bit isn't going to come up with something that's like, you can fix your own Red Ring of Death at home. You know, they're not going to have parts for that. They're not going to have stuff for the Yellow Light of Death.
It's going to be stuff that the companies have stopped supporting. Because then...
And I don't know that Games and Go, or at least they haven't actively advertised that they can do... A lot of, I mean, they probably can, they just don't actively advertise that, hey, we can fix, you know, disc reading, you know, the laser in a PS1, or, you know, the laser, I'm sorry, laser issues in the PS2, or, you know, the pin issue in the Nintendo, or just any of these.
So kind of question about that repair stuff. I saw you had a tweet about your controller.
Yeah, I actually had them install new thumb pads and D-pads into both of them. I had them do a whole new casing on one controller. So it's like it basically just took the insides and put a whole new case in it. So it's all black, like everything on it's black. And then the other one, I just had them replace the thumbsticks and the D-pad. And yeah, they did it like all there in the store, just kind of, you know, unscrewed it, you know, 20 minutes later, it's done.
Sweet.
But yeah, so
and
I mean,
I'm guessing that's cheaper than getting a new controller.
Yeah, I mean, for all that together, it was like $25, $26 bucks, something like that. So, so people check out Games and Go if you're around here, if you want some sweet ass customized controllers. I actually kind of want to take my black one back and have them do it red thumbsticks and D-pad on a whole black controller.
So, all black.
Yes.
It's very metal.
It's very New Zealand.
Wow.
Yeah. Or is that South Africa?
Did you really make
a
rugby joke?
I really
on the
did
show?
Make a rugby joke. Yes,
it's pretty sad. And you're right; it is New Zealand.
Yeah,
so
I could not.
The New Zealand.
You made me like question it for some reason for a second with your.
No, I was just looking. It's like really? Did you make a rugby joke?
I did.
I haven't heard rugby jokes since Get Fuzzy.
Oh well, I mean, I did spend some time in Australia.
I suppose.
And that was the sport I did understand. Cricket, however, I think is like Blurin's ball. It's just all made up.
No, no one knows cricket or Australian rules football.
No, people do know cricket.
No,
they lie.
It is the precursor to Blurin's ball, I think, is what... Actually, I think it's Calvin ball, really, more. They just kind of make shit up as they go, and it's one guy is kind of like, I'm just going to win this, so I make up the rules anyways.
That sounds pretty scientific there. So. One last story before we talk about Extra Life and some of the games we've been playing.
So I know some of us are a fan of the event Video Games Live, where we basically have an orchestra play some of the hits from video games throughout the ages. Well, the London Philharmonic Orchestra is releasing an album called The Greatest Video Game Music. They did not put Evar on there, which good on them.
Did they put Halo on there, though?
Well, that's the thing is, let's go through some of the music. You have Legend of Zelda.
Of course.
Yeah.
Clearly. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, the theme from
that.
Which
I can remember that.
Was composed by Hans Zimmer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Call of Duty is not a game where I'm like, God, I'm really looking forward to the music.
But number four...
Hans Zimmer has done so much shit lately, that doesn't even matter.
Ashley's wearing her hater pants right now. Drinking
hey,
her hater
you know what? Aid. I worked as a licensing person for music, and really his shit is everywhere.
Now,
it doesn't mean that it's all good, or that it's
the
best.
The Call of Duty thing, I can see that being something that they added to help this sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
If you look at the cover that they have on the Game Informer page, it is a dude in basically Call of Duty garb playing a cello or a bass on fire.
That sounds like the dude from Reverend Horton Heat's band.
Yes. Anyways, coming in at number four, though, is the Angry Birds main theme.
That's awesome.
Jesus Christ.
That is pure hilarity because it's just like, I want to hear the Angry Birds theme done by a orchestra.
Yeah.
This is everything that's wrong with
but
the world.
But the thing that I find interesting is the greatest video game music is what they're calling the album. And number four is Angry Birds.
What are some of the other stuff on there?
Yeah, what else?
So we got Final Fantasy VIII, Super Mario Bros.
Really? Eight? Okay, yeah, eight I would give you for the music.
Uncharted, Nate's theme. Grand Theft Auto IV, The Soviet Connection. World of Warcraft, Seasons of War. Now, Blizzard is known for having great
music. Yeah, there is some pretty good music in World of Warcraft.
The Tetris theme.
Of course.
Battlefield 2. Elder Scrolls. That is understandable.
Okay.
Main theme from Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare.
Again, that's a...
We're going to make this sell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in at 15, I'm kind of skipping around a little bit here, but Mass Effect, the song Suicide Mission.
Yes.
Good music.
Yes.
Splinter Cell Conviction, Final Fantasy main theme, of course.
Yeah, there should be more than just one Final Fantasy, though.
There's Final Fantasy VIII, a song from that.
What?
Bioshock, The Ocean on His Shoulders, Halo 3, One Final Effort, Fallout 3 theme, and another Super Mario Bros.
Fallout 3 theme.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wow, you guys just went in unison on that, and you're both daydreaming.
Well, no,
I'm trying to think.
Confused.
Like,
can't even make a sentence so shuddy.
Yeah.
Because I felt like the Fallout 3 theme was like an old 1920s or 30s song or something like that.
I know from, Fallout 2 was Kiss to Build a Dream On by Louis Armstrong.
Because that was the whole big thing with the Fallout series. It's always been old music.
Old jazz,
you know,
because
it's always, it's that retro future type thing has been the whole mantra of every Fallout.
What I think is interesting is normally when you see these compilations... Or anything really devoted to video game music, it's predominantly done. It's predominantly made of Japanese games, and this one seems to be a little more focused on American games, and I think that's interesting. And what intrigues me about this is that I wonder if there's a bit of a push to kind of re-highlight American game music.
Well, I'm guessing what you're saying is kind of correct. Like, I feel like the Japanese music gets a lot of exposure through the CDs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. It could be just to highlight there are some American composers doing great thing with video games for the Western audience.
And
it's really funny. There is so many shooters on this list.
I also think that the Japanese music, the guys that are the people that are really into video game music tend to be really into Japanese video game music. Like, I think of the guys at Destructoid. Like, they're always going on and on about, you know, particular composers and shit like that, and that's fine. I mean, you know, everyone's into whatever they're into, but I think it's interesting that there is so many Western games on this,
but,
and that there's so many shooters.
Well, the interesting with shooters, I mean, I played a lot of the Call of Duty games and the Battlefield games, and I do remember the music getting pretty intense and really bringing you into that world. So it doesn't necessarily surprise me that they have a lot of that. The big thing I look at this list, and I want to like do my programming at work to this, because you know this is going to be all intense music. It's going to be like upbeat. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be like anything sad and somber.
It's going to be classical thunder for video
basically,
games.
Basically, yes. And I mean, the London Philharmonic's nothing to scoff at. I mean, they're, you know, world renowned.
Oh, I'm scoffing.
Well, that's because you're elitist.
Drinking the Haterade.
That's because you're an elitist.
Well, yeah.
Maybe you should go protest at the government center about it.
You just wore her out just thinking that. So,
and I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
So that's it for stories, obviously. Well, not obviously. They can't see the outline. But we've got a bunch of games to talk about. As we mentioned before, we did the Extra Life last week, last weekend. If you haven't donated yet to our team, I think as of right now we're about 2,300, and our goal is 2,500. This is after shattering our original goal of 1,000, so that was really cool to see. I'd love to make our second goal. We are in. I think we're still in the top 25 teams in the whole effort.
Although we'll see after the actual weekend,
you know,
how that plays out.
We'll see how that works.
Right now, we're pretty cool.
I'm
right now, we are the coolest kids.
Mm-hmm. We are.
That is true.
You don't even know.
So we ended up playing quite a bit of different games down at Extra Life. I know for myself, Ashley and I, we played the Pirates, the Lego Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I just say my favorite part of that is that Lego Jack Sparrow actually runs like Jack Sparrow in the movie.
Nice. That sounds adorable.
It is. It's pretty adorable, I must
say. Evan and I almost puked because it was so adorable.
No, that was because I had nothing but Twinkies and Mountain Dew all day.
Oh, that was it. I almost puked because it was adorable.
So I have a question for you guys. So I was unable to be there. I was out east visiting the girlfriend and seeing some pretty trees and whatnot. I'm doing...
He's not even making that up either. Mm-hmm.
No,
like, we went to go look at trees.
We went leafing. We did the New England experience. I even saw mansions down
God,
in Newport.
I want to hit you.
Yeah, do it. Anyway, so I'm doing the marathon this weekend with some friends that are also doing the competition. I think they have like 16 people going.
Yep, you'll be part of the Minnesota Direwolves.
Yes, at the Minnesota Direwolves. I'll be doing the gaming with them. But from you guys that actually ran the marathon, any hints, any tips?
Do not play Dance Central.
Just period.
Just do not avoid.
No, don't lose at Dance.
No. Just don't. Okay, let me be more specific. Don't down a can of NOS and then immediately do Dance Central.
Mike looked like he was going to pass out. It was pretty funny, I must say. As a casual observer, watching Mike slowly die in front of us was pretty entertaining.
So, like, is there a perfect amount of Mountain Dew, or is it like Red? You got to go to the advance of Red Bull, or
I don't know. For us, the biggest thing is. And I think we're going to do this more next year when comes to Extra Lifetime. I think for us, the biggest thing was to do it in public. We had so much fun at Games & Go with everyone that showed. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the pictures. We took a handful of pictures while we were there, and we put them up on Facebook and Twitter. That place was pretty packed at times.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at... By everyone we talked to at the mall, that was like a dead day for the mall. So it was really nice to get everyone coming out there, you know, supporting us or just there to come and play. And when we got to Mike's place to finish the last bit, it just seemed so empty and boring.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh my God, I wish we had people here. And we had the stream and we had people watching the stream, and that was very nice of you. I don't know why, but you know, you're watching it, and I'm not going to complain.
It's basically just like all of us getting crazier and crazier.
Right. And to the point where I stopped speaking English, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, my kind of plan is I just plan on basically planting ass in front of my laptop. And basically sitting there with, like, the Walmart 30-pack of Mountain Dew next to me and as much Cheetos as I need. Or Doritos
30 packs so you can get some XP.
Yeah, Doritos are as I need for XP for Modern Warfare 3 comes out.
I got a bottle of Mountain Dew upstairs if anyone wants my XP code.
No, it was funny because they had the 12 packs of that, and I was seriously thinking of getting that just for the humor of it.
But did you get the Walmart 30-pack?
No, because I refused to go to Walmart.
No, there was Walmart 20-pack.
Cheetos
had 4 cans. Yeah, so I'm
it's
trying
rough
to.
Times.
I'm basically loading up my laptop right now, a gaming laptop I haven't used for a while with a bunch of games from Steam. Basically, plan on bringing that my DS and just kind of planting ass and hooking up to the network and see what the other guys are playing.
Right on.
I think it'd be fun.
It definitely helps when you're playing stuff with other people. That is the other thing I learned is that you doing something like this. I think for me, it really was energizing to play with other people. I mean, I have not had that much fun playing Madden in a very long time. And as much as I love that game, holy crap, that was a lot of fun. And
you got pretty obnoxious.
Oh,
I
got
say.
Pretty so, damn. Like, I have.
Is that why you had to have your controller fixed? Did you like do the controller spike?
No, I wanted
he
to.
He came close.
I wanted
times.
To.
Now, was it out of rage or out of
no, 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 no. It was
shit talking.
It was a lot of shit talking going between me and this guy. Like, because it was.
His name was Darrell.
Darrell. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He was good people.
He was.
Was he better than you?
He did not bring us a salad bar, though.
He did not bring us.
Well,
salad
he because he didn't really work.
I don't care. I don't care.
Left him early.
I don't care.
What's the salad bar?
He worked the Ruby Tuesdays, and we were joking because he came before work, and we were joking he needed to bring the salad bar down.
Well, we joked that it's like, hey, you get free food. You should bring us whatever free food he is. Well, I only get free salad bar, so I told him, well, bring that fucking thing down
bring
here.
The
yeah.
fucking salad
yeah,
bar.
Yeah, roll it down here.
Well, I'm surprised you guys wanted a salad and not like a cheeseburger.
No,
or
I'll eat a free. I'll destroy a salad bar.
Yeah, here's the thing. Here's
I'll make a salad the size of a Buick if necessary.
Here is the strategy with a salad bar is that you just load it up with ham and bacon bits, and that thing don't seem much like a salad. Anymore.
My
thing
hurts.
Sounds like awesome. You load it up with eggs and bacon bits and ham bits, and it is.
Mike's cholesterol awesome. Is in four digits. I don't know if anyone noticed that.
I can see the like just pulse on his forehead throb when he thinks about that. It's
pretty scary. But no, it was a ton of fun, and it was. I mean, we had of course the dance offs between.
Yeah, so Ashley, you are the champion.
Thank you.
You are the awesome, and I'm so sorry to ever doubt your abilities. And
now, did you come in costume?
No, that fell through. So
what was the costume? This,
supposed costume.
Supposed costume was going to be a. It was funny because I thought about this later.
He's got to quick think of one because I'm still submitting that this never was going to happen.
No. This was
the
thing that was going to happen, but no, it was going to be. Very, very short shorts, and
dude,
and I was in the else was to find like the half mesh jersey as well.
All right, next year let's make this happen.
Yeah, I'm actually glad that didn't actually
so
happen.
This was the
so my prediction was not far off.
There were three dance offs.
Mm-hmm.
There was Ashley and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the championship. Right?
That was the championship, and Ashley shellacked him.
Mm-hmm.
What was the song?
Well, we did three songs.
I don't remember.
It was best out of three.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Well, it was best out of three, although I had already lost by the third song, yeah. So it was kind of like
the third one was the hardest song on there, mm-hmm. just to like give people a show.
Yeah.
Yes.
And by that point, I was like dying, so it was more like a convulsion.
And then a more entertaining match was Jeff, our lovely engineer, versus Gene, the manager at Games & Go.
And Jeff just slaughtered him.
Well,
Jeff was so good.
Jeff got into it.
Yeah.
That sounds adorable.
It was pretty outstanding. And
who was the third one?
The third one was hilarious for everyone else in the place, if you were paying attention, because it was Ashley versus some random high schooler chick.
From the dance team.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen an entire game store try not to look like they were paying attention to that that contest. It was hilarious because it was an entire store of dudes trying to pretend that they're not watching the two girls play Dance Central. It was hilarious to watch. Yeah, all of the Street Fighter guys, they were just playing just a little bit slower than they were normally.
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty entertaining.
Oh, I don't remember.
Did you win
that,
against her or no?
I think they
were probably watching her because I wasn't in skimpy clothes or anything, but she kind of was.
Yes.
Did you beat her or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually won.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Of course. Well, yeah. Why would you even question that?
I just wanted to make sure.
And we do have the video of the Jeff and Gene and Ashley and Mike. We have it recorded.
You felt too creepy getting the high schooler?
We might have recorded that one too. I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Yeah.
But we'll see, and it will either go up when this comes out or 2 weeks from now. Yeah. It depends on how much time I have in the next couple days.
I feel like I should have just faced off against Gene. Maybe I might.
That might
have
been a little more fair.
I think Gene was over that after
after Jeff.
Yeah,
yeah, after Jeff. Okay, the final score was Gene 150,000, mm-hmm. and Jeff was 650,000.
I mean, it was
Jeff really got into it. Yeah. It was
he
pretty
did.
Funny.
And then Jeff and I just danced for fun later. Cole and I and Jeff and I. And
oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah. It was up for a little bit until we switched. I don't remember what I switched it back over to.
Probably Madden.
No, I think I was done with Madden after that.
Yeah,
point.
You were done with Madden at that point.
So anyway, it was a ton of fun, and if you came out, we'd love we'd love you to shoot us an email and just let us know what you thought of the event. Mm-hmm. I think next year, because we had so much fun doing the live event and so little fun doing the non-live event, because we got pretty loopy.
Yeah.
And nothing's funnier than trying to challenge Ashley to Connect Four on Family Game Night on Xbox when she is
retarded.
Well, and to be fair too, like I lost all survival instincts when playing Bomberman when we were like that tired. I would just be like, "What, huh?" and like walk right into the bomb.
We were trying to find anything that we had that was multiplayer, and the best I could find was Atomic Bomberman from like 5 years ago.
That was a good game.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, and I destroyed all of you.
Yeah.
I was like somewhat trying to nap or sleep at that point, and then I came back down and we rallied, and I played. I brought out Family Night, and so we played
Family
Boggle.
Game Night. Yep.
Yeah, Family Game Night.
And then we played Yahtzee, which I dominated at.
Yeah, I sucked
at Yahtzee on the Xbox?
Yeah. Family Game Night.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then me and Jeff were also rocking some NHL 94.
Yep.
Genesis style?
Yeah, Genesis style. So.
And no one would challenge me on Mutant League. I just want to point that out.
I'm sorry.
I was playing that Orcs game.
Yeah, we did play Orcs Must Die, which is a new game.
I think I was trying to finish up some more on Portal.
That's pretty fun.
It is fun. We can talk about it a little bit. It's still available. It's a third-person kind of tower defense game, and that's exactly what it is. It's got kind of a goofy vibe. It's a fantasy realm where you're laying traps. It kind of reminds me, in terms of tone, it kind of reminds me of Dungeon Keeper, if you remember those games. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of fun. I don't know how much I'm going to get into it, because it strikes me as really tough. So I'm the difficulty really ramps up when you get to about the fourth or fifth map. But I wasn't really playing it too focused, I guess. So maybe once things die down here, I can reassert myself.
I do want to apologize to Mr. Wheatstone. I did not get a chance to get to my my goal for him, and that was to finally sit down in attempt to beat the first level of Contra.
Jeff did have Contra there.
And I just never got around to it.
For sure.
I actually downloaded it on Xbox Live Arcade, and then Jeff informed me that that was not the NES version, that's the arcade version, so it wouldn't have been valid.
It doesn't count.
So.
Well, maybe next time. But
at least I have the arcade version I can try to practice on now.
What I was thinking for next year, and I'd love to hear suggestions about this now if you want. Instead of one night of just, do a live event and then go to somebody's house, maybe do two events, on consecutive weekends, and, hopefully won't be actually on my anniversary next year.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be less politically damaging for me to participate. But do it on two consecutive weekends and do it live events each time. Do one at Games & Go, one at some other local place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a really good way to do it.
Oh, I'd love to do that. Yeah.
So stay tuned for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
keep
and
listening.
Hopefully we'll be around then.
Yes.
Still, you know.
Yes. Like I said, it was a lot of fun. Huge thanks to Games & Go for supporting us, not only just by giving us the space to do this, but really pushing it. We got mentioned on the local Hard Rock station 93X. We got mentioned on the Rosedale Mall website. I mean, they did a lot of the PR work that frankly we were too busy to do.
Mm-hmm.
A huge thanks to Gene especially, but everyone at Games & Go. Tony was there for a lot of it, trying to give away soup. He didn't give it away. He gave it as a prize.
And then Ashley, what was his name again? The guy who played in Madden.
Darrell.
Darrell ended up eating the soup later.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
He did? Oh, that's
good. Good for him. Mm-hmm. Tony was there, and I forget who was there at the beginning, right when Games & Go.
And we even had the owner. Yeah, that was who was there.
Yeah, that was one of the owners. Mm-hmm. And either way, they've just been incredibly supportive of the show in general over the years, but this event in particular. And at the event, we raised $400 that went into our total as well. So that was just, it was so cool to be a part of that. And I know Games and Go was really, really happy with the turnout and just to be a part of it. So again, huge thanks to them. If you want to check them out, it's Games and Go and Games N, the letter N, Go online. Or as I looked at it, it looks like Games and Goon Line. So, you know.
Yep. See, and like I said, the place has a lot of cool stuff. I mean, they do, actually one of the attorneys at my work just got his Xbox repaired there that I sent him their way. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, to get his red ring repaired there. Like they do the controller mods.
I'm sorry. Please let's not refer to it getting someone's red ring repaired. It just sounds really bad.
It sounds like a bleaching asshole.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they do, you know, custom modding on your cases and your controllers and stuff. A lot of cool retro games there. I mean, Jeff picked up Chrono Trigger for the SNES.
Yes. Holy, how
much? $85.
Holy crap. They have a version of it for $120, I think it was.
$110.
In the case, still in the wrapper.
Holy
shit. Yeah.
Yeah,
so. That's actually it sounds like a good deal for $110.
Yeah,
yeah. There's something to be said for being in a store all day. I mean, like I think if we'd only been there like an hour or two, Jeff probably wouldn't have bid on it. But every couple hours, he'd walk back over there and just stare at the game for a little bit. And by the end, Yeah, and then by the end, he's like, "Damn it, I gotta buy this."
Yeah. No, and that was there too. Like the one guy was kind of like, "You know, you're your knobs in the controller look a little worn out," and I'm like. Yeah, they kind of are. He's like, you want to do anything about it? And I'm like, maybe. And yeah, it was another thing. Like,
actually,
by midway,
he was propositioning you. I don't realize if you know that, but
you just got your knobs fixed by mistake.
Yeah, yeah. Some dude walks up to you and starts commenting on your knobs. That's really
it's funny that you mentioned that because I have two wired controllers that are absolutely like shot from playing Fight Night Round 3.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like you just like since it's like all like the stick movement, you just grind down those edges. So I might have to swing by there with my controllers.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Too.
And you know, you get this cool bunch of cool colors for them. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yes. One more thing from Games Ago, I have to bring up. I dominated at Mario Party 2.
Congratulations!
Like destroyed.
That is some fucking bullshit. I don't even want to.
Ashley's very bitter about this. She only got one pity star.
No.
Holy shit.
This is ridiculous. The first fucking time you play Mario Party and you get 8 fucking stars. Fuck you. Seriously.
Okay.
She's a bit angry.
Are you like a seasoned Mario Party veteran?
Yes. Shut up about it now.
Oh.
She was.
I won in Yahtzee. Here's the thing that kept happening throughout the whole night. I sucked at every single game except for Dance Central and Yahtzee.
And Wave Race.
Yeah, Wave Race. You beat the first game of the day.
Yeah, I mean, Wave Race is a great game.
Okay. I was very up and down with my gaming as far as succeeding or
so
not.
So was I.
I did very well at Madden, which, by the way, I want to compliment him again. That was a very, very fucking, like, back and forth game.
It was entertaining to watch.
It was just a lot of just... Oh, it brings me back to playing Madden like competitively in public, and it was just holy crap.
You have wood.
Like it was. I really wish I could do this all the time, like play Madden against people live instead of online, because it's way fun. There is something to still be said for playing 2-player competitive games in person.
Well, maybe we got to organize another charity event at some point. Just take over a place and play games for people. But anyway. Again, you still have a couple days left to donate to us. The official event is the 15th.
Yes.
So you can always go to the website. It's extra-life.org/team/yags.
Mm-hmm.
Donate to anybody on the team, and all of that money will be going to all of the host money will be going to the St. Paul Gillette Children's Hospital.
Yep.
I know we have a couple other members on our team.
Neff
that are
is playing
for Cincinnati hospitals of some sort. I forget which one. But you know, donate anything you can, and it's 100% tax deductible. All that information is on the website again, extra-life.org/team/yags.
Indeed.
Other than the Extra Life thing, I've just been playing Binding of Isaac, which we talked about last week, and I'm now getting back into. Actually, just before the show, I re-downloaded Baldur's Gate. The first one.
Wow.
Because I got this weird vibe. Because I was actually on the thread about the Mass Effect multiplayer bullshit.
And somebody brought up Baldur's Gate.
And, well, somebody, yeah, it was basically, you know, it was the people like, oh, you know, BioWare's last good game was Baldur's Gate. And then, well, and then what was hilarious is someone pointed out, you mean the Baldur's Gate that had multiplayer? So I was like, and all the talk about Baldur's Gate, I'm like, you know what? I never did finish that. So nice. I went on Good Old Games, and they had the whole first one for $10. So I'm like, nice. I can do that. So I played it for a little bit, and that's a 15-year-old game, and goddamn does it look it. And it's I'm still kind of remembering a little bit about it, and nice. But I played like a half hour, so I'm sure I'll talk about that in a couple weeks. So
right on.
Mike, have you played anything?
Well, speaking of old games, I do have coming in the mail for me from Guzik's Wing Commander 3.
Oh, good lord.
What system is that for?
I have it coming for the PlayStation 1.
Oh.
That
was the one with all of the full motion... That was the one with all the full motion video ones, right?
Yes, yeah.
With lovely Mark Hamill?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Yep. Wow.
He is
that
lovely.
That is
the only way to describe Mark Hamill.
Exactly.
He's luscious.
But games I have been playing, actually right before the show... Finally fucking finished Portal.
You
Portal 1?
Portal 1. Finally fucking
finished. He tried playing Portal 1 at Extra Life, and let me tell you something. The last half of Portal is not a game you want to play after you've been playing games for 16 hours already.
Because I'm just like, I basically lost the grip of like basic physics. No longer made sense to me anymore because my brain had melted
so
that.
So what part were you having problems on?
I mean, just the whole 19th chamber is a bitch. So.
I got stuck on that, and I played it for probably like 2 hours, and I'm like, threw out my mouse. Fuck this, I'm done. Came back 2 months later, beat it one shot.
I was telling Mike this. I got really stuck on the 19th chapter because I didn't know how to open a door. There's a door that you have to open. It's like there's one door in the entire game that you have to open. And it's just
no. There's
just
a couple doors in the 19th chamber. Okay, yeah. Okay. But you just like you don't think about it anymore because it's always been I can just shoot portals and get through places.
Yeah. There's this one door, and I thought I had to like angle the jump funny and do shit. I must have spent like an hour and a half trying to get through this door.
I don't remember any doors.
And then I accidentally hit E for use, and the door opened them, and I just remember going motherfucker, wasted so much
but
time.
But yeah, no. I mean, it's the boss battle in that game is a bitch to figure out. Like, and then. What I finally ended up doing was just
the second one's harder.
I didn't think either boss battle were that hard.
Well,
I didn't. The second one I struggled
a little
bit. But.
At first, I'm sitting here trying to figure out how I can get on the railing to make the turret shoot at GLaDOS. And then I'm sitting here dinking around, and I thought about it for a second. I'm like, wait a minute. I can make the portals shoot at the. And I'm like. Why have I been wasting 4 hours trying to get the damn thing to do it?
That is one thing I love about the Portal games is it's full of those aha moments. It's like, oh my... And then you feel like a genius.
Right, and you're just there and you're watching it, and I'm like, holy shit, I just beat the boss battle in 2 minutes. What the fuck?
Yeah, I think, like, I restarted the boss battle a couple times, but by the time I got to it, I didn't have to spend that much time compared to the rest of Chamber 19.
Although the fourth little islet thing is a bitch and a half to get.
Yeah, it is.
Once, like, you're basically just like, okay, I'm just going to go super fast, like, you know, up to down type portal shit until I just knock it out.
Yep.
That's what I
So what do you think of the ending, like, little montage song
thing? I enjoyed the montage song. I really wish there would be a punk band who would redo... The GLaDOS Staying Alive song, or whatever.
I'm sure it's been done.
It's. I mean, I've heard the song before. I have it on Rock Band. I just never got to that point in the game. So
I've heard it before too, but it makes so much more sense after you beat
the game. After you've beaten the game, and it's just like, wait a minute, there is cake. What the hell?
I love cake.
I've now lied to. I'm disappointed that I was lied to that the cake was a lie.
Yeah. Get over it.
But yeah, so. A couple of the things I have played, though, as well, there's a new table that came out for Pinball FX2 called Sorcerer's Lair. That's a lot of fun because it's got a lot of these mini-games within it when you achieve certain things in the table. And it's really interesting. Other reviewers tried to be like, oh, it's playing on the Harry Potter vibe. I didn't get it at all, like where people were getting Harry Potter from it. But, no, I mean, it's a lot of fun. There's not much to it, but it's good because there isn't a lot going on in it. And it's challenging, so. Also been playing NBA Jam on Fire Edition, and holy shit, is that a lot of fun.
What system did you get that for?
360.
Okay.
So it's, it's
an arcade game.
It's an arcade game, yeah. And for $15, it's like, holy shit, EA, why didn't you just put the first one out as a downloadable and not charge people $50 for less content than this one has for $15?
So really, NBA Jam was a retail copy?
The original, when EA got the license, their first thing that they had last year was a retail copy. It was supposed to come with NBA Elite, and then they scrapped NBA Elite. Yeah, so it was a retail copy. It was kind of like, for $50, not really. But this for $15, I mean, if you loved the ones back in the Genesis, and you've got to get it. It's a lot of fun. There's so many unlockables in it, and we even have the stuff where they have, like, you know, the Democrat team and the Republican team.
Can you play as Bill Clinton?
Yes.
Nice.
Apparently, I hope to God this is a cruel joke. John McCain, really good at three-pointers.
That sounds like an awesome joke.
It is an awesome, cruel joke. Yeah, you can also be the Beastie Boys. You can unlock them. There's two EA teams on there you can unlock, which one of the EA teams contains Isaac from Dead Space. You can also unlock the crew from SSX.
Nice.
You can unlock a team that's got the original maker of NBA Jam along with the announcer guy. Tom something, but that's the whole joke, is he's supposed to be mimicking Dick Vitale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was actually him.
No, it's not. Oh, it was a joke against him, like the whole announcer thing in the game.
Oh, no, shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's a lot of fun. I mean, the rosters are updated. Obviously, they're not going to get rookies with the lockout because they can't license them.
So no Ricky Rubio?
No, you do have Rubio. That's the funny part. Oh. Rubio's in the game. The Timberwolves.
Do they have other Hook characters?
No.
He was in Hook, right?
Yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah. Ha ha ha.
That's Rufio.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Rubio. Yeah.
Now I want to go to Timberwolves games and just yell out Bangarang.
He would.
There's nothing stopping you from doing that.
Yeah, there are seats available
and
for you.
Yeah, you can get to Timberwolves games for nothing. So
that's probably true.
But yes, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, so I mean, for $15, I mean, why the heck not? Even if you're not a big sports person, it was one of those games that just, like, even if you weren't into sports, it was still fun as hell.
I always got goaltending in that game.
Yeah, it's still a pain in the.
Yeah.
It's funny because one of those games, like, the gameplay hasn't really progressed much. Doesn't need to.
No.
And it's still a lot of fun.
There's a certain level where it's not worth evolving.
Wait, you're not going to complain about there being no Mutant League NBA Jam?
I don't know if Mutant League NBA would work.
Well, Sarah Palin is a character in the game, so it's practically Mutant League.
Michelle
Bradley Mutant League.
No.
Oh, damn.
All right. Ash, have you had time to play anything?
No. Just beat the
Wave Racer.
Well, I did beat Wave Racer, and I beat Gears of War.
So, spoiler alert, kids, if you haven't played Gears of War 3, you should probably skip ahead a little bit in the podcast.
Yeah, yep, you don't want to hear this.
All right, so, Ian, don't listen.
Okay, I'm going to plug my ears.
Okay, so what do you think of the ending?
What?
What did you think of the ending? I want to know your thoughts.
Here was my thing with the ending. It was just like all the other endings. To the fact where, like, oh, we killed the locust, so we thought. Oh, we killed the lambent, so we think. So his father is dead again. Like,
but his father's, like, dead. Like, you actually see him die.
Yeah,
because
you saw him disintegrate, and that was sad. But it was more emotional, and I get it, but it was just like, oh, then Marcus and Anya hold hands, and you're like, really? After all this fucking shit, you're just gonna hold hands? First of all, that's some bullshit.
What do you think? She was gonna bend him over a rail and just take her right at the end?
Like a hug or like a kiss?
The end credits, it's just them banging the brains out in the background.
I don't know. I feel like Marcus would just break Anya.
It probably would.
It's
got a
pelvis
like a Mercedes tank.
I don't think a kiss.
Does Mercedes make tanks? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they did in World War II.
Okay.
I don't think that's much asked for, like, a kiss.
I don't think the kiss. No, I think the kiss would have been bullshit.
Marcus Phoenix doesn't have lips.
No, I think
he has muscles.
I think sort of romance stuff would have been absolute bullshit. Especially because I would have preferred Sam and Bard more so than Anya and Marcus.
I want Cole and Marcus. let's just get it over with, people.
No, Cole and Baird.
I just have
colon a locust.
I don't know. Like,
the love that
I
dare
just,
not speak its name.
I just thought it was still kind of open-ended. I still feel like, well,
I don't know.
I still feel like they could come out with another one. And
they could, but it would almost have to be like, you would have to do a prequel and it would have to not include Marcus. Like, you would almost have to do some sort of like...
Is Marcus... Now, this is coming from someone that played like maybe the first third of the first game. So, mm-hmm. like, I'm not invested in the series. Is Marcus really that compelling a character? Or is it just the world? Like, could you just have anybody in that world? Could you build a game off of Cole or Anya or just a new guy and still have it good? Is Marcus really like with the Halo games, everyone is like, you can't make a game without Master Chief.
But
I never understood it, but that was what a lot of people said until Reach came out.
The thing with Marcus that makes it interesting is that you have the whole... It feels like after the third game, you've kind of like... You would go back and look at them knowing what happens later on. It does make him a very compelling character because of everything that he kind of represents in the world. I mean, especially the fact that his dad knew this was all coming. And
I mean, yeah, the story up to that point was interesting and like... with Myra or whatever her name is and mm-hmm. and his father's
Which,
Adam.
By the way, I want to point out, and somebody asked me this from another podcast, did they ever explain why she's human?
No, they never do.
they never just assume that a human leads the... It's kind of like the Borg Queen in Star Trek. Why does she look different than the other Borg? I don't know.
Yeah.
Just does.
Because she's the queen.
Right, and you're like, well, okay then. Moving on.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, I think that to me, it's more so the dynamic of the whole Delta squad. Like, it would be mm-hmm. very odd to see something without them because, I mean, every character, and that's what made the one real big part in 3 really pissed me off, but I liked it at the same time, was killing Dom. Like, I was so mad.
Oh my God, I almost cried.
I was pissed because that's...
I was like, are you kidding me?
That's my guy. Oh.
I think one of the big things is with Marcus is if you don't have him as a character, you're going to end up creating someone probably just like him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm just curious.
It's like Master Chief is the last of his kind. Marcus was kind of like this war soldier who was then imprisoned for going against the Cog orders and has kind of had to rise back up again to be the guy. You know, to kind of get this going. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's broken into prison right away in the first one to kind of be like...
Okay, fine. Let me rephrase my question then.
No.
Is the world itself not compelling enough to survive without Marcus?
Like I said, my thing? Good point, Ashley.
Yeah, well done.
I would say it's not compelling enough to survive without the Delta squad.
In some form.
That whole squad of them, not just Marcus by himself, but the whole squad of them. I mean, and the way they do it with 3, it's like, it really touches on all of them. Like, mm-hmm. it kind of really goes on. I mean, one of my favorite parts is Cole's reminiscing of his thrash ball days.
Yeah.
And that's a really awesome and compelling part to me.
I think to mm-hmm. kind of rephrase a question, part of the thing that made Battlefield Bad Company great, and I'm speaking specifically from the second one, is the four guys.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're kind of these outcasts who are all a little bit off mm-hmm. makes it endearing. Without mm-hmm. those four guys, it's a Call of Duty game.
Mm.
And I think that's what really makes the Bad Company series really good. And it sounds like that's the same thing here going mm-hmm. on with Delta Squad. You could potentially make a new Delta Squad, but your character creation is going to be spot on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of those things where the world and the characters go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like whenever I talk about the movie Social Network, you know, the soundtrack, the score, and the direction all form that trifecta to make that movie great. Mm-hmm. It's not just the world or just the characters. You know, you have to have both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think for me, the flip side of this would be like the Mass Effect universe. Like, Mass Effect universe doesn't need Shepard to be interesting. There's so much else going on.
He's just a patsy.
Well,
right.
Yeah. So,
and it's kind of, you know, it's almost the way, if you look at it, Mass Effect is almost like Fallout, where the Fallout universe doesn't need the Lone Wanderer at all.
No. Well, like, I mean, that's especially the case with mm-hmm. Fallout.
Right. You are just
You're just one story in this universe.
You're just a one story.
Yeah.
And to me, I mean, it's just like, the great thing with Mass Effect is you can make your own Shepard and you can be Shepard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's a faceless person who is the kind of the...
And they act how you want them to act. Mm-hmm, you tell them how to talk and all that.
Mine has a face.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you get a face in Mass Effect.
You must be modding yours.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
All right, we've been podcasting for 24 hours straight here.
Yes,
and now
right.
We're starting to talk
yes,
nonsense.
We're doing extra life.
But no. You know what I mean. Like, it's just kind of this, you know.
You give them a face, but they're not. It's not part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, no, I'm fine with that.
You are character X.
I'm merely bringing up discussion topics. Right. And we would love you guys, listeners, to comment on this. You can send us notes at Yags of Fancy Pants, or you can do show notes, leave comments there. Either way, we'd love to hear from you on this or any other topic.
Ashley, be positive.
Except Ashley. Ashley doesn't care what you think.
Until she wins a Mario Party 2, she will be negative.
Ashley is sending your emails to pirates right now.
Yes.
Like, anytime you comment, she writes your email down and sends it to people so that they can hack your PS3 account. So,
pretty much.
Of those 93,000 that were hacked, 30,000 of them were provided by Ashley.
Nobody has sent me a single fucking email, so...
Well,
Mike gets emails. Evan gets emails.
I don't get emails.
Well, you're new.
I haven't set up your email yet. So
okay. I get an email address.
Yes, everyone gets an email address.
I'm gonna send you.
I'm
love
just
letters.
Really. I'm just really lazy. So
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pretend you're a prison inmate when I send you letters, though.
Don't make them love letters. It's just creepy. I still want you to write Konami about Contra being broken.
Just to see what their response
is. Yeah.
I think we should do that.
I'll do it on your back.
Ian, before we wrap up, Ian, you play anything right now? You've had 2 weeks.
No, I haven't really been
playing. You've been playing Extreme Leafing?
Yeah, no, I've been playing a lot of the iPad. There's a game called Where's the Water, something that I put out by Disney.
It's over there.
Yeah, it's basically... It's about an alligator that likes to bathe.
Alligators have dry skin. That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, there's puzzle games where you basically have to dig holes to get the water down to the shower head. And, you know, there's bombs and hazards and all this stuff you need to navigate around.
Man, where the hell is he?
Underground.
It's Iraq.
It's like dealing with the, you know, the waters around some post-World War II area there, you know.
It's a really fun puzzle game. I would make it similar to Cut the Rope rather than Angry Birds. For those casual gamers. Much like Cut the Rope, you know, very puzzle-less game, but very agility-based in certain levels. Had a lot of fun playing that. Played a lot of that on the plane. And also been playing Johnny Jetpack, I believe is the name of the iOS game.
I want to play that game.
It is fucking awesome. It is about a guy who has a chain minigun attached to his back and uses it as a jetpack.
And this sounds like how I want my life
to be. He's basically held aloft by the recoil of the gun.
Yeah. And basically, you go up or down to avoid hazards, or you pick up these vehicles for a while. There's one called Mr. Bubbles, which you basically ride a dragon, and when you press down, it breathes fire and heads down.
This is how I wish real life operated.
This is one of those games where it's like, damn it, I wish I had an iPad.
Yeah. Lot of fun. Both games, I think, are 99 cents. Guarantee you less than $5 for both of them. Johnny Jetpack is a lot of fun. It has like these little mini achievements, and one of them is kind of on the ground. There's all these scientists running around of the place you're escaping or breaking into, whatever it goes.
Whatever the story is. Who
for
knows?
Just when that achievement's active, you can high five these guys. So if you walk by on the ground, you'll high five, and like the achievement's like high five 10 scientists.
All right.
Otherwise, you just shoot the shit out of them, which is a lot of fun. But for this one, you're like, high five, high five, high five.
High five, now you die.
Yeah.
Nice. You're dead now.
So I highly recommend that game, Johnny Jetpack, and also Where's the Water.
Okay. Very good.
All right.
We don't know if we're going to have a show next week or not.
That is kind of up in the air. Regardless if there is a show or not, Evan will not be there.
Yes. I'll be down in New Orleans on my mini honeymoon.
We will be burning a candle in your honor.
Yes. So we're still trying to figure out if we're going to do a show or not.
So stay tuned to the Facebook and Twitter. We'll keep you alerted on that.
Yes. So
otherwise, Ian, if we don't have a show, it'll just be a recording of Ian singing video game music a cappella.
No.
Yes, I have decreed it. So it must happen now.
We'll just loop your Dance Central game for an hour and a half.
Nobody wants to see that.
I want to see that. Anyway. All right, we just hit that point where we're now creepy.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. As always, thank you for supporting us in all of those ways that we know that you do. I do want to thank Ashley Hay for coming on the show.
Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Make sure you're checking out our Tumblr, which is yet another. Is it Yags? I always forget.
That's Yet Another Gaming Show.
Okay, yetanothergamingshow.tumblr.com. That's what I thought, because it's just all video game funness and... Mm-hmm.
And I think starting next week, we're going to have like long content on there.
Mm-hmm.
Ian's up this week, and we don't know what he's going to do.
Maybe what I'll do is I'll cranko my article like hour 12 of Extra Life.
Yes.
Unedited.
I think it should be like a stream of consciousness, like Train Spotting style diary of Extra Life.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
Ezio is trying to get me.
Bastard.
Yeah.
By the way, I have to say it. That is a fucking awesome commercial. The PS3, the
long live game. Oh, the Michael commercial?
Yes.
Yes.
I showed Laurel that, and she even thought it was cool, and she didn't know who, you know, yeah, nine-tenths any of those the people.
Well, it's one of those where there's all these games going on in the background. Like, I didn't see the Portal girl the first couple times I saw the commercial.
Oh, I didn't either.
Yeah,
I'll have to go back and...
Yeah, go back and watch. There's a shot where it's a... Oh, what the hell is a clown's name? I should know this.
It's Sweet Tooth.
Sweet Tooth. I knew it was a tooth. I couldn't remember the first part. Where it's Sweet Tooth versus the
sock puppet.
The sock puppet.
What the hell
playing
game
chess.
Is this?
It was a PS3 commercial.
Oh,
was,
for like the system.
For the system, and okay. It's basically all of these Sony characters meeting in a bar.
Although there is multi-platform characters in
there
as well.
Yeah, there's
but
a couple in there.
You primarily, I mean, you've got Nathan Drake. Kratos in there.
Cole from Infamous.
Solid Snake.
Yep. Well, there's a shot of Sweet Tooth and the sock puppet from Little Big Planet playing chess.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see Sweet Tooth in the background, you see the Portal girl run by.
Nice.
Okay.
So, yeah, apparently it's full of that stuff. And we posted that on Facebook, and I'm sure most of our listeners have seen it already, too. But if you haven't, just search for PS3 Michael.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic commercial.
There's also a back shot of Joe Mauer in it, too.
That's right.
As well.
Oh,
I don't think that's actually
no,
him.
No, they didn't.
Yes.
So, check out the Tumblr, yetanothergamingshow.tumblr.com. Also want to thank Mike for coming on.
Yep. Thank you, everyone, again, for listening. Thanks for everyone who came out to Extra Life. It was a blast. Make sure, again, to check us out on Facebook. You can look us up at Yet Another Gaming Show. Also, check us out on the Twitters at YAGSFPG.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Also, big thanks and welcome back to Ian.
Thank you, thank you. Check out shop.fancypantsgangsters.com for the Yet Another Gaming Show t-shirt and other designs by other artists, including our very own Ashley Hay. And also pick up a globe or an atlas or something like that and learn the globe better than we know it.
Yes,
learn where New Brunswick is.
Yes,
I think we need to put out a Fancy Pants Gangsters Globe.
Oh, no, we need to do a PSA. Like, learn shit. Like, please, just be smarter than
us. Read a book.
Yeah.
And also, again, Ian will be participating in his own event on Saturday the 15th.
Yes.
Along with the Minnesota Direwolves. Do you know if they're doing, like, streaming or anything like that?
I think they might do some streaming. If I know that, I'll probably send you an email, Evan, so
sure.
You can put it on the Fancy Pants Gangsters Another Gaming Show social networks.
Yep. And just one last reminder here, the Extra Life website is extra-life.org. I found out there's another gaming charity called Extra Lives, which I thought was kind of weird, but it's extra-life.org/team/YAGS. And
yeah, a couple more days you can donate.
A couple more days,
and
I would love to make our goal of $2,500.
Yeah,
it's certainly very doable. So thank you guys that have already supported us on that. Thank you guys in advance if you haven't yet, but you will be donating between now and then. And as always, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.
You both can't even make a sentence, so shutty.